This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our walk through the Psalter, considering Psalms 128 through 132. Thus shall the man be blessed, they made long their furrows. With you there is forgiveness, like a weaned child, and arise, O Lord. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
From the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. Then the disciples came and said to Jesus, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance, but the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, "You will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can hardly hear. And their eyes they have closed, lest they should see, and their eyes see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your ears, for they see, are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In Jesus' name?
Amen.
In today's reading, Jesus doesn't quite say what you might expect him to say. You see, normally Jesus quotes scripture to make things clear. "It is written," he says, to defend himself. You might bring to mind or recall verses from Psalm 119, such as verse 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Or a little bit later, verse 130, "The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple." Verses like these seem to say that God's word is clear. It sounds like God wants to be understood. But now Jesus sounds like he wants to confuse people. He makes it sound like the point of parables is to keep God's word hidden from people. So which is it? Is God's word clear or unclear? Well, first off, it's important that we do not pit scripture against scripture. The Bible's not contradicting itself here, and it's not saying, like Rome does, that we need an infallible magisterium to help us understand scripture. Rather, this is where the classic distinction between the external and internal clarity of scripture comes into play. On the one hand, we can talk about the external clarity of scripture. In other words, the Bible is written in objectively understandable words in human language. And the main point of it, that Jesus came to save us from our sins, is understandable even to a small child. In other words, scripture is clear in and of itself. That's the external clarity of scripture. It's why Jesus can quote scripture and expect people to get the point. And that's also why the psalmist calls God's word a light that enlightens our understanding. But today's reading isn't about the external, it's about the internal clarity of scripture. It's about our ability to understand the things of God revealed in scripture. And the Bible makes clear that this internal clarity is a gift of the Holy Spirit. St. Paul writes for us in 1 Corinthians 2, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God." And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. What this means is that when we find people not understanding the Bible, or when we find some disagreement about what it means, there's often a spiritual element involved. And yes, it's true that there are some parts of the Bible that are harder to understand than others. The book of Ezekiel is a great example of this. But if you look at any major doctrinal disagreements in Christianity, you'll always find that there's a spiritual dimension behind the disagreement. In fact, you'll find there's at least four major reasons why people disagree about what the Bible means. Now, the first reason is laziness. Some people just simply don't take the time to understand what the Bible's saying. They look at it and say the first thing that comes to mind. They don't take God's admonition seriously when he says in Joshua 1 verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it." The clarity of scriptures about whether people can understand scripture by reading and studying it, it's not an excuse for laziness. Rather, we are to be diligent in our meditation and study on God's word, especially if we aspire to be teachers in God's church. The second reason is arrogance. Of course, some people aren't even trying to understand what the Bible's saying. They just use it to justify what they already think from some other place. This is, of course, what we call eisegesis rather than exegesis. It's, of course, very easy to form an opinion about something and then go looking for something in the Bible that can support it. In fact, since Scripture is the most read book in the history of mankind, the Bible's been used to justify basically everything under the sun. Simply because someone justifies or has justified something from Scripture doesn't mean that they are actually interpreting Scripture. They may just simply be using it to say what they want. In contrast, Christians are called to humbly listen to what God intends for us to hear, and that means reading Scripture on its own terms, not just what it means to me or in the light of whatever I happen to think is fashionable. The third reason is impatience. Sometimes disagreement isn't so much over the interpretation of Scripture per se, as much as it is about the application of Scripture to our life. And these are issues of wisdom, and wisdom calls for patience. As it is written in Proverbs 14:29, whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. Where disagreements are matters of practical wisdom rather than doctrine and the confession of our faith, we are commanded to show patience with our brothers, as Paul says in Ephesians 4, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. What's good about this is that the Apostle James in chapter 1 has not only exhorted us to pray for the gift of wisdom, he also says that God has promised to give it to the one who asks. If we do not have wisdom, perhaps it is because we simply have not asked for it. God's promises are certain. The fourth reason is idle curiosity. It is a good thing to be zealous about studying God's word, but sometimes people are just asking questions the Bible's not trying to answer. They might go looking for all sorts of things in Scripture that have nothing to do with the purpose of Scripture, namely, to point us and present to us Christ as the fulfillment of God's law on our behalf, whose righteousness is imputed to us by faith. You might think of the disciples on the Emmaus Road. They knew the Old Testament very well. They weren't heretics, but it wasn't until Jesus interpreted all things in relation to him that their eyes were opened to understand the Scriptures. And this points us to a common theme in all these reasons people disagree about the Bible. Whether it's laziness or arrogance or impatience or idle curiosity, all these reasons stem ultimately from a lack of repentance and faith. All of these reasons point to our need to repent of our own spiritual blindness, whether that takes the form of arrogance or impatience, selfish curiosity, or neglect of God's word. It also points to the need for us to pray to the Holy Spirit to open our minds and give us wise and understanding hearts. We would do well to pray regularly the collect for grace to receive the word of God, that we would hear the Scriptures, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of God's holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Which brings us back to the purpose of parables. Now we know that from our reading yesterday in Isaiah 55 that God's word always accomplishes its purpose, whether that purpose be condemning lack of faith or strengthening of faith. And we also know that Christ is the key to all of Scripture, including the parables. And so if you look at the parables and don't see Christ at the center, they will simply be on the same level as Aesop's fables, good stories with a moral tacked on the end if you can find it. But if you do see Christ at the center, they will be an open door for you into what Christ calls the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. In other words, they will be about that teaching of repentance and faith, which brings us to everlasting life. And so today's reading is not just an admonition to repent of our hardness of heart, though it is that. And it's not just how we need to pray for understanding of the scriptures, though it is also that. Much more, it is a promise to those who hear God's word in faith, those who do believe that Christ is the Savior from sin and death. And to them Christ says, and to you Christ says, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it." God grant us such eyes to see and ears to hear. Amen.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Hear my prayer, O Lord.
Let my cry come to you.
In the day of my trouble, I call upon you.
For you answer me.
Hide your face from my sins.
And blot out all my iniquities.
Create in me a clean heart, O God.
And renew a right spirit within me.
Cast me not away from your presence.
And take not your Holy Spirit from me.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation.
And uphold me with the Holy Spirit.
Because your steadfast love is better than life.
My lips will praise you.
For you have been my help.
And in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy.
Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth.
Unite my heart to fear your name.
I will give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart.
And I will glorify your name forever.
May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you.
May those who love your salvation say evermore, God is great.
Save your people and bless your heritage.
Be their shepherd and carry them forever.
Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer.
Listen to my plea for grace.
In our prayers, we give thanks to God for the birth of a daughter, Mary Ellen, to seminarian David Hart and his wife, Susie. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, since you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Faithful God, you promised to preserve your people and save your inheritance, using unlikely and unexpected vessels, in extending the genealogy that would bring about the birth of your blessed Son. Give us the loyalty of Ruth in her trust in the one true God, that we too might honor you through our submission and respect, and be counted among your chosen people. By the grace of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the Holy Spirit, who reign together with you now and forever.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, you sent your own Son into this world as the child of Mary and Joseph. We thank you for the life of this child, Mary Ellen, entrusted to our care. Help us to remember that we are all your children, and so love and nurture her, that she may attain to that full stature intended for her in your eternal kingdom, for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father,
through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen.